Good morning. Welcome to our worship service this morning on a nice, damp, chill morning. But can't complain, we don't have 3 foot of snow on the ground, so we're not complaining, right? We're just going to start off with a few announcements. If you guys haven't noticed already, Pastor Jim is not feeling great this morning, so he is not here, and he didn't want to get everybody else sick. So there is no Jim and no Chosen study tonight, just so you guys are aware. We still will have youth group and just be a little extra loud tonight to make up for the no Chosen study. So also a congratulations to Mitch and Michaela, and also Dean and Sherry too, I think. And I see Brenda is here. Michaela's mom, they had their baby this week, and you guys can see the details of that. But a huge congratulations to them. I know they're really excited, and I think Mitch is going to be a good dad. I really do. But I just feel like I got to say that because I know Mitch. But for Victory Center Bible Camp, the applications are open for them. They opened on March 1st, so get those filled out. And also we have scholarship applications that the CE board gives out through various members of the church and different budget items that we have. So if you guys need one of those, they're out there in the foyer. Grab one before they're all gone. No, I'm kidding. We can print off more. It's okay. So get those filled out. Get them back by April 1st so we can get those done. For the Meals on Wheels, we are filled. I saw on the sheet out there this morning. So just remember that you have it, I guess, and that's why that's out there still. And then there's a baby shower on March 9th for Tyler and Jacqueline, and that's this Saturday. So remember that. That's here at the church. And then next week, on March 10th, the Club Rock kids are all coming here to sing. We're going to sing and share some music with you guys, and I will be preaching. And there's going to be a whole lot of new families in the church, hopefully, is what we're praying for. So be welcoming, be open to them, and just kind of fellowship with them as you see them come in and make them feel welcome. And then Megateen is March 22nd through the 23rd of this month. So are there any other announcements this morning? If not, we're going to go right into our call to worship from Colossians 1, 15 through 20. And that says, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross."
What are we singing? I was sitting there focused on Abe and forgot about what I'm supposed to do for my job. I know the name of it. All hail the power of Jesus' name. So we have to stand if we're going to sing about Jesus' power, right? Let's stand and sing together number 97.
Name, let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Ye chosen seed of Israel's race, ye ransomed from the fall. Hail him who saves you by his grace, and crown him Lord of all. Hail him who saves you by his grace, and crown him Lord. Let every kindred, every tribe on this terrestrial ball to him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all. To him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all. Oh, that with yonder sacred throng we at his feet may fall, we'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. We'll join the everlasting throng and crown him Lord of all.
Thanks for singing. Now let's take a minute, greet somebody, tell them you're glad to see them, you're glad they're here.
Good morning, again. As you can see, they're dipping pretty low in the bucket to get me up here to do prayer time. So it's been a long time since I've been up here to do this. So with everybody gone, is there any prayer requests or praises that need to be mentioned? Now you're not gonna be that nice to me, are you? Make me free will this, huh? Oh. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for this congregation, Lord, that come here to hear your word. And we just ask that you be with each one that has come here, guide them, protect them, let everything they do this week be pleasing to you, and be with James as he comes and ministers to us in his missionary journey overseas in Italy, Lord. We just thank you for him and the dedication he has to you, Lord, and we just ask that you continue to take care of him and be with him as he's in the States and be with his family, Lord. Keep them all healthy and just watch over them. Be with Jim as he's not feeling well today, Lord, and get him back on his feet so that he can start to go about his way, Lord. We just thank you for the Sunday school. We thank you for our youth group, Lord, and we just ask that you continue to bring these young people into our church, our Club Rock, and just watch over them, their families, and just that we can be a positive force in their lives. Now, as I go on with our service, we just ask that you be with our offering time, Lord, that this money goes out to our missionaries that are out working in various parts of the world, Lord, and we just ask that you continue to take care of them and meet their needs. And we just thank you for everything that you do in your precious name. Amen.
number 20 in your hymns, and you can stay seated. Just relax. All people that on earth do dwell, right? Am I wrong? Am I not supposed to be up here? You know, I'm on a roll. I think we'll just sit down and shut up. All right, here we are, and we're going to sing together number 20 in your hymnals, All People That on Earth Do Dwell. Say that three times fast. There it is. Thank you for that offertory. I could sit and listen to you all day. Thank you very much.
The angel host, be
and glory evermore.
And now we're going to sing 277, The Church is One Foundation.
The church is one foundation, is Jesus Christ her Lord. She is his new creation by water and the word. From heaven he came and sought her to be his holy bride. With his own blood he bought her, and for her life he died. Elect from every nation, yet one o'er all the earth. Purchased her of salvation, one Lord, one faith, one birth. One holy name she blesses, partakes one holy food, and to one hope she presses with every grace endued. Mid toil and tribulation and tumult of her war, she waits the consummation of peace forevermore. Till with the vision glorious, her longing eyes are blessed, and the great church victorious shall be the church at rest. Yet she on earth hath union with God the three in one, and mystic sweet communion with those whose rest is won. Oh, happy ones and holy, Lord, give us grace that we, like them the meek and lowly, on high may dwell with thee.
So today we have the privilege of hearing from James Romano, and you can come on up. He's a missionary in Italy that the church supports, and he comes back a lot, and we love hearing from him. I'm not going to tell much about what he does, because for one, I don't know a ton. But he knows it all, and he's going to share it all with you on Sunday during Sunday school hour. So stay for Sunday school, stay for the fellowship time, and hear from James and what his family's doing in Italy. And it's from junior high all the way through all the adult Sunday schools. So come and stay. All the other kids have Sunday school. And then after this, we are going to do the love offering for him to help him out and his family as he travels and goes around, and just be praying for him. And we're excited to hear from you. So thanks for coming.
Okay, thanks for having me again. And for those of you who think that I want to move to South Dakota, that's not true. No. It's because coming often here, I really enjoy and really thank you for the opportunity, the pastors, the elders, that gave me this opportunity today to share. And greetings from my wife and the kids. And they, can I come? And I was like, well, they have school, so not really. And it's quite expensive as well to have the whole family come over. And so, the reason why I'm really in the States this time is because I wasn't expecting it. It was pretty much of something that happened so fast. As you know, was with the newsletters, I had Tyler Smith, Michael W. Smith's son, come over to Italy, and I arranged for him some concerts in different churches because we're very well known in all of Italy. And so we had a good time with Tyler, his wife, Sarah. So my wife was as well with me as we went and attended different concerts in Italy. So kind of a friendship came about. So I have met Michael W. Smith pretty many times in these years. Well, every single time I came, I went to this place. And, you know, but there's a difference, as I was sharing with the son, Tyler, the ministry. He really had a heart for Italy, for the missions. He saw how I grew up in containers and everything, and that we're actually a mission that probably in Italy is the only one that is 24/7 on the streets with a tent and evangelizing, so with many needs. And so when he came over, he came back to the States. He spoke to his dad, and which of course knew me, and so it's different than if I speak to a person, you know, to a father, and a son speaks to a father. Things change. So I was invited to stay at Michael's house. So I was staying at his house for 3-4 days. And at the same time, in that period of time, it was in November when he came, Tyler Smith. Then I had a guest from a pastor from Tennessee. So they all live in the same area. And again, you know, just by chance, even though I don't believe in chances, I think God puts everything together. So this pastor came over, I toured him around, I brought him to Venice, I brought him to Pisa, Lucca, and whoever comes, I'll take you guys to all these places. So you guys know that you're invited, and I'll take good care of you. And I mean it. And so he was even touched by the ministry, Christ is the Answer, what we do, not only in Italy, even in the rest of the world. And so he invited me to come. So between Michael and this other pastor, I had to come only a week. And so I was going to actually fly to Nashville in Tennessee. But then I heard of Clay, which is Clay Anderson. I heard even on, as I followed your the meetings, that he was doing sick. And I just came to know it by some people that live in Huron that he was not doing well. And so I called him. And so I had a heart. I said, once I come overseas, I travel all that much. What is it to, you know, to get a, hop on a car and come up to South Dakota, you know? So it's a pleasure always seeing you guys, you know, meeting you guys, even if it was just 7 months ago. But then, you know, I really want to tomorrow be with Clay Anderson, visiting with him, staying with him, and just listening to him and praying with him. And we hope the Lord can touch his life, can heal him. And Thursday, I head back to Milwaukee. We'll drop Pastor Roberto at his house and catch up with my wife because they insisted. So I was very happy because I don't want to stay 20 days in the States again without the family, without the kids, without my wife. So it was very nice of the Smith family that they offered to pay her tickets. They really wanted her to be there. So we will drive together down to Tennessee and stay the whole week there. And then we go back to Italy and continue the work. So this is the reason why I'm here in the States. And hopefully, keep it in prayer, because, you know, names are not the thing that count. You know, as God touches the heart, God moves things, and he is the one that provides, right? Jehovah Jireh, he provides, and he is the one that we count on and that we hope for. So keep that in prayer for this coming week, even for the traveling. You know, it's never something, you know, we sometimes take it for granted that you get in a car, you're driving, and you get to destination. And this message that I will be sharing today it's on my heart because, so let's start from 7 months ago. I won't be very long, but when I came here in August, my grandpa died, and I was in Milwaukee, and he was 102 years old. One of the first pastors in his hometown, Gela. Well, that's, you know, 102 years old. That's good, you know. And he was almost like, I can't wait to get to Jesus because it's a bit too much time that I'm staying here on this earth. And so he left. But I would have loved to be at the funeral, you know, but I was in the States. And then just before that was in November, there was my cousin as I was in Rwanda in Africa. And he was only 30 years old and he was planning for his wedding. And he was going home from work on his motorbike. He was a chef, a very good chef. And he crashed and he died. And so, you know, and I was out of Italy. I was in Rwanda. So as you guys know as well, Gracie, my wife's best friend, she was only 32. She passed away. It was on the newsletters that I wrote you guys. She was a very a happy person. And I remember when she got cancer and she was going to the point that it was getting kind of critical, we told her, hey, Gracie, why don't you come over to Italy? Because we're in Florence, they have good hospitals and you can take care of yourself. We can help you, you know. And she was like, no, I don't really care. You know, I have the people that God, you know, put in front of me that have to minister in Ireland. And I'll finish my days to the max here ministering the young people that have been starting to minister, you know. And so she died there in Ireland, you know. And my wife followed up. And so 102 years old, my grandpa, you know, 30 years old, my cousin, 32 years old. There's Gracie. And you never know, you know, life. So just 3 weeks ago, we work in Naples with a church that's very close to us. And there's this other young guy, he was only 23, got married, and his daughter was turning one. And he was going to work in the morning, has an accident, and he died. You know, and I'm like, what's happening? Like, every time I get my phone, I'm like, I don't want to answer. I don't want to listen to the voice message because I'm like, someone's dying, you know, all the time. So, and I was like, and because he had a little accident, a car came running, crashed into him at 100 miles an hour. That car that crashed into him in the morning, he was positive for drugs. So, and alcohol. And the day of his funeral, his daughter turned one. And it's been really heavy, and I'm sure everyone has a story to tell, you know. And I just remember even Gracie, she was born on the 29th of September when my son Jaden was born, and she died the 9th of June when my son Liam was born. So it's all things that, you know, get together, and they become pretty intense. And just yesterday, the other yesterday, I got the news, so I travel again, I'm in the States, and my uncle, he's retired, and they called me, and he said he's not going to make it through the month of March, he's dying. And I'm like, I think I should stay somewhere, stop traveling, because every time I go out somewhere, something happens. But that's not the thing. The thing is that it happens, and it happens at 102 years old, it happens at 65, 23, 32, we don't know. Some people are just born, some don't even make it to be born, you know. So I was putting a title to the message, and it's "Set Your Heart on Things, on Heavenly Things, on Things That Are Above." And as I was reading Philippians 3, 18 and 20, it says this: "For as I have often told you before, and I will tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ." And what really touched me is because here's Paul the Apostle, that he's writing to a church that he has served in this church before. So he writes him and says, "How I have told you before, I tell you even now, and I'm crying, I'm telling you with tears, that many live as enemies of God." And I believe this message this morning is for the church, for non-believers, for missionaries, for everyone. And he's with tears, and he's saying, and he's describing those people that live like enemies of the cross of Christ and enemies of God. And he says, their God is their stomach. And so what is he trying to say? Well, the idea there is that it's their appetite, what they long for, the things they desire, the things they care of, that they're continuously thinking of. And then he says, their mind is set on earthly things. And it really touched me, because here Paul the Apostle is saying it with tears. He's crying. He's speaking to the church. And he says, but our citizenship is in heaven. So, and many times when, you know, like when Gracie passed away, she was so happy. And I don't know how even my wife and other people like that were around her, her mom, they saw the a peace, you know. She was like, her desire was to get married, have kids, you know. And she was, she had that desire. But at a certain point when she said, you know, this is life, you know. We don't know when the day is going to come. So how are we supposed to live? With our mind set on heavenly things. And sometimes we like, we say, you know, we look forward to Jesus, our citizenship in heaven. But many times we're clinging to the things here on this earth. Is it true for you? Is it true for me? Am I, is my mind really set on the heavenly things? Because if it's not, then sometimes this place becomes our home. This earth. And we're probably not even different than others. And in 1 Peter 2, verse 11, here Peter's talking about how we're supposed to live. And he says, we're like strangers, we're aliens, because we don't belong here. And the human tendency many times is to make, even Christians, to make this our home. When our home should be, our citizenship is in heaven. We have to have our mindset in heaven. Our thoughts have to be eternal thoughts. I don't know for those of you who have been in short-term missions, and I know many of you have been, I was just thinking and reflecting on some of my missionary trips as I was preparing the message. And it was the one in, like, for example, when I was in Rwanda lately, and you know, it was sticky, and it was hot, and it was stinky, and we were in mud homes. And I come from Italy, so Italy, you know, the good food. And I ate things that made me vomit, you know, and I was there just having to eat it. And they were serving it to me with dirty hands, the kids, and they were doing it with a smile, you know. And I was like, And I was just trying to be polite, trying to be kind, you know. And I was like suffering because I was very uncomfortable. And I was like, I'm only here for the sake of preaching the gospel to people who need it. And that is it. And I cannot wait to get back because I'm here only for this reason. Because the washing machines were in these little rivers. They were brown rivers. They were full of mud. And so they were washing. Can you imagine mud homes and the smell of the clothes and the food and cooking with plastic, you know, the fire was cooking with plastic, and really conditions that were pretty sad, but it's the majority of the people in the world, you know, and we're there, and so we're doing it for the sake of Christ, right? So, and I remember even a mission trip in Greece, we were evangelizing the Muslims in our base in Greece, and we were in a room, a small room, and a bigger room, and there was a bathroom, and there was like 30 Muslims, and there was me, another three people, and we were sleeping crammed together, just because the other room was where they put their shoes. Because they have, you know, that thing that they have, a rug with all their shoes, and it's the way they do it, the religion. So we all crammed in there. The bathroom was plugged. Couldn't take a shower. The sink didn't work. So we're all there. And there was conditions where, like, what am I doing here? And I was like, well, I guess I'm here for the sake of the gospel. Just because, if not, there wouldn't be any reason that I'd be here. And see, the Bible tells us that this is the way that we should live everywhere. As foreigners, as strangers, people that pass by here. This is not our home. I'm an American, an Italian citizen. I live here and there. But I'm not from here. I'm not from there. My passport is a celestial one. Amen? And I should live the same way I live in this mission trip with that same desire, like Paul the Apostle said, everything for me is rubbish. I'm here only, the only reason why I'm here is to preach the gospel. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here. And Jesus, he talks about it in Luke 17. Verse 26. It says, just as it was in the days of Noah, so also will it be in the days of the Son of Man. People were eating, drinking, marrying, and being given in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. Then the flood came and destroyed them all. It was the same in the days of Lot. People were eating and drinking, and buying, selling, planting, and building. But the day Lot left Sodom, fire and sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. And this passage really hit me, because what do you think when it's talked about Sodom and Gomorrah? So we remember very well the story, right? That the angels were going to Lot, and the house they enter, and all the men outside are banging in the doors, and they're like, hey, we want to come in, you know, knocking on the doors and saying, we want those men. You know, we know the story, and it was pretty a bad situation. It was dirty, it was vulgar. They wanted to have sexual intercourse with these men, the men. They're outside there, and Lot says, please don't. I'll give you my daughters. And when I think about Sodom and Gomorrah, that's what comes to my mind, this horrible situation. And it's when it's referred to those cities, it's referred to a city of just perversion and all these bad, horrible sins that were going on. And in Italy, there's phrases, even just normal Italian phrases, that refer to a bad situation using, it's like Sodom and Gomorrah, you know? And so, but what hits me of this passage is that Jesus is describing Sodom and Gomorrah. He is speaking here. And he doesn't mention any gross sins. He doesn't say they were doing this or that. He was saying, in the times of Noah, people were eating, drinking, marrying, and being given the marriage. And then the flood came. In the times of Lot, they were eating, drinking, planting, building, selling. Are any of these sins? Living life as usual. No sins, nothing bad. But see, here Jesus was pointing to the indifference of the people. They knew it, they were warned. They knew something, some judgment was going to come about, but they were just indifferent, buying, selling. And this indifference is what Jesus points out. Just thinking of earthly things that are not sins, that are not bad, but just things that don't have to do with eternity, that don't have to do with the kingdom of God. And it's pretty sad because, and I see it not only with some Christian friends, I remember just recently because my car broke down and I was talking to a friend of mine and he was very excited because he had bought a new car and he was like, you know, this car has horsepower this much and the windows like that and this is like that. And I was looking at him and he was talking to me with such enthusiasm. And I think I offended him pretty bad because I turned around and said, you know, it doesn't really excite me that much. Sorry to say. But I'm worried of one thing. When you talk to people about Jesus at work, when you're at the store or just walking around, do you speak to them with that same enthusiasm, that same zeal that you're speaking to me about your new car? And he like looked at me and I was like, and then he left. Indifference. And we are in a little town in Regello. Some of you have been there in Florence, South Florence, where we as a mission in the time that we're not out with a tent, we evangelize, we do one way, we have people come over, we invite like 15, 20 people that are not Christian to come over, and they're all very good people, you know, and I can tell you they're wealthy people, people that, you know, have a good job. They're not getting into trouble. They're not doing drugs. They're not having situations with other women or men. Or they, you know, they're people that their kids go to school with my kids. I meet them every morning. I speak to them. And we invite them over to our place. And we have pizza. But the reason why we have pizza with them, now we have a good Napolitano that makes pizza very well. And they really love the pizza. And they almost want to always come, even though they were like, hey, we have to make everyone come, not just one person all the time. And they're coming, we're eating. So the first time they came, you know, you're like getting to know them. So how old are you? How many kids do you have? And, you know, make friendship, you know. The second time, but then I'm dying inside because I'm like, well, how many pizzas do I have to eat with you before I get to the point? And so then I don't make two or three pizzas pass by that I'm there. And then I'm like, hey, it's good. I love you. You're my friend. But there is judgment. It's going to come one day. If you don't accept Jesus as Lord and Savior and repent of your sins, this is what it is. There is hell and there's eternal destruction or eternal peace with God forever. So if you choose Jesus, well then, and when you speak to them about this, they're like, they're indifferent. And they're not doing nothing bad. I mean, I told you, they're not around doing bad things. They work, they're growing their children, very educated people, you know. But they're just busy buying, selling, planting, eating, drinking. Like in the times of Noah, like in the times of Lot. Indifference. And talking to Christians, you know, as I always tell people at our mission, I was like, how are you living? Are you living thinking about the return of Christ? Are you thinking about the end times? Are you caught up in the many good things that are not sins, things that have to be done? You have to eat, you have to drink, you have to plant, sell, buy, work. But what's on your mind? Are your thoughts heavenly thoughts? See, and the distinction, and as we read in Luke 17, 31 through 33, it says, and it will be just like this on the day of the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, no one who is on the housetop will, with possessions inside should go down to get them. Likewise, no one that is in the fields should go back for anything. Remember Lot's wife. And so here's Jesus that is speaking. He says, do you remember Lot's wife? So we have Jesus reminding us of the times of Sodom and Gomorrah, and he's not talking about gross sins. He's talking about indifference. And then he says, you remember Lot's wife. Lot's wife was saved. The angels went, rescued Lot, the daughters, the wife, running away. He says, but just don't look back. We know the story. And as they were going, she was probably behind. You know, she didn't want to, of course, leave her life. And she had that commandment, do not look back. She looks back, and God kills her right over there. She becomes a pillar of salt. And it's not, the idea is not that because she looked back that she died. The fact of wanting to see the fire burn or poor guys that are getting killed. The problem here was that in her heart, she was longing for those material things that she had left back. She was like, And the distinction between the people who were saved and judged, the people that were judged and destroyed were the ones that had their mind on earthly things. That's the distinction. And so many times I think, can it be possible that I get caught up, James, I get caught up with the earthly things so much that it'll probably be one day that Jesus is coming back. And when he's coming, that the judgment is coming, I'll be like, you know, I'm not ready yet to go. I had planned a vacation, or I had planned this or a trip. Lot's wife was there seeing the fire. She had to run, and I'm sure the situation was pretty drastic over there, and part of her was just over there. She didn't trust the Lord that where God had told them to go, to the mountain, to the rock, to Jesus, that place was better than what she was leaving. Her heart was there. Her mind was on earthly things. And then Jesus says, whoever tries to keep their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life will preserve it. And I ask myself many times, James, what is the priority in your life? Are you really living for Jesus? Like I say all the time, my mom was a good example for my life because she was not sick. Jesus took her away. She said she would never arrive to be 70. She died at 69. And during this life, she has grandkids. She had them. And my daughter looks exactly like my mom, a German-American, little blonde girl, you know. And I told my mom, I was like, Mom, but don't you, because she says, no, I want to go. I'm looking forward to go to Jesus because my citizenship is there. That's my home. That's where I want to go. But she used to tell this, like, from when I was small, I used to hear my mom saying, I want to go with Jesus. And I told my mom before she left, I says, but don't you want to enjoy your grandkids? Don't you want to enjoy, you know, family? She's like, no, no. Right in my face, you know. And I was like, okay. Was she a bad grandma? Or was she doing the right thing? She's told my dad, I don't want to be here anymore. My dad, you know, her husband. And he was like, well, don't you want to be here? Oh, no, John. I can't wait to see Jesus. My mind's there. And so then, if that is true, that would probably be, you know, when we face deaths, drastic situations, or natural deaths, you know, in older age, probably we wouldn't be that sad if we're in Christ. We're going home. But sometimes part of ourselves is clinging to the things that we have made here, produced here, built here. We have put our roots here on this earth. And then the nice thing is that when we read in Matthew, because it's not all that bad. In Matthew 6, 27, and it says, can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And then it says, so we don't know when we're going to go. Could be 30, 100 years of age. And then it says a whole list of things. It says, don't worry about eating. Don't worry about drinking, even though you have to. Don't worry about getting dressed. Don't worry about anything. But then it says in verse 33, but seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. In other words, Jesus wants us to live a life here on this earth. He gave us, and he wants us to live an abundant life. He said it here on this earth. And he has pleasure if we can eat, drink, build, buy, sell, prosper, help others as we prosper, to do everything. He's super happy. But don't cling to those earthly things. It'll be added to you. It'll be given. That's a promise. And in Colossians 3:1, I want to end with the first verse, and it says all the way to the fourth. It says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Amen. And I have a word of prayer. If we can close our eyes. Heavenly Father, I really thank you for this morning and how you speak to us through your word. And I want to ask you that you give us a heart for the things of your kingdom, for the heavenly things. Father, not that we don't, but as we're in this life and we get worried for the little things, for the bigger things, we get caught up We're human. We get caught up with many situations, and we know, and you know, you have created us. You made us out of dust. And you know that we come short. We do sin, and we ask you, Father, to forgive us in the name of Jesus. And many times when we fill our minds only with a usual life, the normal things, Father, we sometimes do forget about the fact that you're coming, you're returning to judge this world. You are coming back. Oh, put a burden in our hearts to reach the people around us, to be people that have continuously in their minds your kingdom, and that whenever we have someone around us that we can share because we don't know whether that person will be going on a car, driving, crashing, and probably having to meet you unprepared. Father, use us as vessels, as ambassadors for your kingdom, and put in us in our hearts always eternal thoughts. Thoughts in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Now is the time when we're going to take up a love offering for James and his family for coming and sharing and just helping to be a blessing for them. I'm just going to pray for this offering, and then the men can come forward and do so. Dear Father, I just thank you for the wonderful message that James shared with us, and I just thank you for his ministry, him and his family. Lord, I just thank you for that and what he does in Italy and what you do through him. Lord, I just thank you for the blessing that he was to us this morning, and I just pray that we can be a blessing for you to him. Lord, I just pray that we would give with cheerful hearts, and just we would do so in your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's stand together and sing number 286. Blessed be the tie that binds. 286 in your hymnal. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love, the fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above.
Before our Father's throne, we pour our ardent prayers, our fears, our hopes, our aims are one, our comforts and our cares. When we asunder part, it gives us inward pain, but we shall still be joined in heart and hope to meet again.
We do invite you to stay for Sunday school too, so not bye-bye yet, but... No, we want to invite you to stay for Sunday school and just remember that there's no chosen study this morning. And hear the words from Matthew 6, 19 through 21. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth or rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Thank you.